Good morning. Party's over. We kept it up as long as we could. 50-day celebration of Easter, beginning with Easter and culminating with Pentecost. And then we looked around for other reasons to keep the party alive. We had Feast of the Holy Trinity, Feast of Corpus Christi. We finally ran out of feasts. We're back to ordinary time. No more Sung Gloria, simpler rubrics. And we go back to the year's ordinary time reading cycle, picking up not exactly where we left off back before Ash Wednesday, because of those feasts that have kept it going and in effect taken another notch out of our book. We were reading Luke, if you remember. We missed chapters 5 and 6 and first part of 7. So you may want to go back and reread those on your own just to catch up and get acclimated. We pick it up today in Luke chapter 7 in the middle of the chapter. Wonderful story. Great place to start again, because it's very characteristic Lucan material. He even moves this gospel. The other three gospels, this story is not about a sinner. It's not about forgiveness. It's about anointing Jesus for burial, and it's told during the Holy Week stories. Luke pulls it out of Holy Week and moves it way back here to give it its thematic thrust. Luke, more than any of the other gospels, is about stress on the compassion of Jesus, the forgiveness of Jesus, the compassion and the forgiveness of God. And to go with that, the church picks out that first reading from the book of Samuel. One of the things they have in common, in addition to the themes of sin and forgiveness, is the wonderful little device of the story within the story. They're both good stories, and in both of them, one of the characters tells a story within the story. It's important to learn from those two little stories buried in the stories. And it's also important to get them in the proper order. Start with the first. Nathan tells this wonderful, poignant little story to David. You can practically see it, can't you? Very quickly. It only takes him 3 or 4 lines to tell the story. But by the time he's done, your heart is there, right? Here's this poor old man with this little ewe lamb nestled on his chest, drinking from his cup. And the rich man snatches it away to make a dinner for a visitor. Lammy pie becomes lammy pot pie. David is enraged. The man who has done this deserves to die. He will restore it fourfold. And then, of course, Nathan points his finger square in his nose and says, "You are the man." And David is caught, and he knows he's caught. He's done to Uriah, the Hittite, worse than the rich man did to the poor man in the story. He not only took his own one wife in place of David's multiples, or to add to David's multiple wives, but then killed him in the process. And David stands there, looks at himself in the mirror, and says, "I have sinned before the Lord." And Nathan says, "The Lord has forgiven your sin, you shall not die." Wonderful story about insight and confession, which we need to learn. Because we're no different than David. We're all homo sapiens. And homo sapiens is very good at kidding itself. I can lie to me much better than I can ever lie to you. I can talk myself into almost anything if I try hard enough. And like David, I don't know how David justified what he did with Bathsheba, much less what he did to Uriah. But he seems to have done it rather well, until Nathan puts the story in front of him, and he can't deny any longer that he sinned. And he confesses, and forgiveness is announced. Well, it's the same thing necessary for us. We need to recognize our sinfulness. We need to break through our self-deception. We need to do for ourselves what Nathan did for David. get ourselves to the point where we can say, yes, I have sinned before the Lord. It needs to happen. Otherwise, we have no... How can you have an awareness of forgiveness if you have no awareness of sin? We've got to recognize our sinfulness. Break through our self-deception. That's a very important lesson to learn. The story within the story, the gospel. It's another very important lesson. Jesus says, Simon, I have something to say to you. So, he tells the story of this moneylender who had two debtors. One owed him almost 2 months' pay. The other almost 2 years' pay. Neither one could pay off, so he let them both off the hook. Which one loves him more? The one he forgave more, I guess. Right on. It's about forgiveness. It's about God's forgiveness. About God's forgiveness of our sins. That's another important thing for us to learn. That God does forgive our sins. But then it's important to get those two in the right order. And the right order is not the obvious order. The answer is counterintuitive. If you want to order confession and forgiveness, we naturally put confession first. You know? You have done something rotten to me, and I am really mad at you, and then you come and apologize, and then I forgive you. We think that's the natural order. And so you might expect from that first story. Nathan challenges David. David wakes up, recognizes his sinfulness, confesses his sinfulness, and then God's forgiveness. But Jesus tells us that's exactly wrong. That's not the way it is. Listen carefully to the key line in the story. So, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. Hence, the most important word in the whole gospel. Hence, she has shown great love. She has been forgiven a lot, and therefore, she has shown great love. Not the other way around. Not she has shown great love, and therefore her sins are or will be forgiven. Which is the way we would normally do it. But if we do it that way, first of all, it's bad for us. I mean, we sort of think it's good for us. It keeps me in control, and I want to be in control. But when I'm in control of something like that, I really get nervous about it, aren't I? You know? Have I really been contrite enough? Have I done penance enough? Can I be really sure of God's forgiveness? And I wind up going around in neurotic circles, torturing myself about whether I have adequately deserved God's forgiveness. This is the theme that Paul is railing against in that second reading. By the way, we'll be reading that reading, Galatians, for about the next month now. This is Paul's angry letter. You can hear him pounding on the table. You know, what's he angry about? They, Gentile Galatians, think that they will be better off if they undertake the Jewish law in order to get their arms around God's arms. And he's saying, how dumb can you be? You're not in charge. Damn it. God is in charge. God loves you because God has chosen to love you. God forgives you because God has chosen to forgive you. Not the other way around. You know, Jesus, albeit with a more ironic tone, is saying the same thing to Simon. You're not in charge. We're not in charge. We don't repent first, and then if we do it hard enough and well enough and long enough, God will forgive us. That's the cart before the horse. Get him in the right order. God forgives us first. Then we repent. Our repentance is the effect, not the cause, of God's forgiveness. Now that does seem counterintuitive. But think about it. If I thought that it was dependent on me, I'd probably go on with the self-deception thing. I got better odds. If I thought I was facing a hanging judge, I'm pleading not guilty. I don't care how far I have to stretch the truth. It's my only shot. I'm pleading not guilty. But if God forgives me first, if I know that God forgives me first, then I have the courage to say, yeah, like David, I stand guilty before the Lord. I messed up big time. I could have been a lot better human being than that. It's God's forgiveness that makes my repentance possible, not vice versa. Keep the cart before the horse. We need both. We need our own repentance. If you don't acknowledge your sin, how can you acknowledge God's forgiveness? But it's the cart, not the horse. Carts are not real good at pulling horses, and horses are not real good at pushing carts. Get them in the right order. God's forgiveness comes first. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Hence, she has shown great love. Because she has experienced God's forgiveness, she has shown great love. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to know. We need to experience God's forgiveness and therefore own up to our sinfulness and therefore show the great love. So listen to both of those little stories within the stories. They're easy to remember. They make sense. And put them together in the right order. Like David, we need to think about the little old guy with the little old lamb. Well, not, you can't be old and be a lamb. With the little old guy with a little lamb. I'm guilty before the Lord. But like Jesus, like the moneylender, like the two debtors, we need to know that God's forgiveness comes first. That is the precedent, not the consequent. The effect, not the cause. God forgives. Therefore, I repent. Believe in God's forgiveness and let that enable your repentance. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.